Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So we are excited here at the Exec MBA Podcast. We are rounding into our second season, and there is no better way to celebrate the advent of this second season than with an interview with a few of the students who work in politics in our program. We sat down with Julie Lasseter, a recent graduate in our Executive MBA class of 2018, as well as Steve Gilliland and Freddie Barnes, two students in our Executive MBA class of 2019, to talk with them a little bit more about why they decided to pursue an MBA and how they hope to grow their careers through their MBA experience. But before we get to those interviews, a few items of admissions housekeeping here. It is the official start of our 2019 cycle. So for those of you who are out there and thinking about applying or ready to apply, our application should be available imminently. So stay tuned for more details. We have no shortage of ways for you to connect with us in the coming months. We have a bunch of office hour availability on the website right now. Of course, office hours are in-person one-on-one meetings, typically with me. We'll be all over the country over the next few months. So hopefully we'll have a chance to connect with you in person on the road. Be hosting webinars largely around the general deadlines that we have. You may know that we've added a new deadline for this year. Our first deadline is September 10, followed by October 10, November 10, December 1. So a lot of great opportunities to apply to Darden. And of course, we'll have application tips webinars along the way. We've got a couple of networking breakfasts coming up. First one of those is in September. We've got happy hours, networking happy hours, one with our network of executive women in September, another with our Black Executive MBA student group in October. So if you are looking to learn more about the executive formats of the Darden MBA, we are here to help you do so, and no shortage of events for you to attend. So without further ado, I'd like to kick things off here with this politics episode with my interview with Julie Lasseter. Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What was your background before coming to Darden, and what are you doing now?
Well, my main background before coming to Darden was rather political. I had done a series of campaigns around the country, and then I came back to D.C. and worked on Capitol Hill for three members, two in the House and one in the Senate. And then I went to work for the Obama administration as a political appointee. So that's my main background before I came to Darden.
So what attracted you to an MBA? How did you think about decision to go back to school?
Well, it's an interesting question. I knew from living in D.C. for about 15 years that I probably needed some kind of extra degree. And I had kicked around the idea for a while, you know, whether I wanted a law degree or a public policy degree. And I chose not to do a law degree because someone was foolish enough to pay me to do legislating anyhow without one. So I felt I already had that kind of skill. And then I decided not to do public policy because what I really felt I missed in my political training was some of the financial literacy that I thought was very important and just kept coming up regardless of what industry I was working on in Capitol Hill or in the administration. And so I really looked toward an MBA format because I thought that would be able to teach me what I didn't know. And then I looked at the executive because I was more than 10 years out from undergrad, and it seemed to be a good place and perfect fit for my career.
And the thing that has come up, and we've had another one of these conversations with two 2019 students, so Freddie Barnes and Steve Gilliland, and they noted this opportunity to be a translator, right? So you go get an MBA, if you have a lot of political experience, you can speak now to business people and you can speak to political people and be that person, the sort of go-between a little bit. You now have broadened the audiences you can reach. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, yes. And what's so funny is that, I think what it does is it taps into and builds on skills that you already had in the political sector. I was shocked by how easy marketing was for me. I had no idea. I was like, oh, yeah, I get that. Oh, yeah, I've done that. You know, we might use different terminology when we're polling or when we're targeting constituents or voters or selling a message. But, you know, crisis communications and marketing and really just being, as you say, a translator is something that political people have to do anyhow. Mm-hmm. And then taking that skill that folks already have and molding it into a financial setting is very powerful. I do think that I am able to talk about kind of esoteric policy, you know, ideas and implications in a much more tangible way because I have, you know, been in this program. Absolutely.
So how important do you think something like financial literacy or economic understanding, you know, we've had conversations sort of offline, not here, but sort of want to get at that. That oftentimes political people, you may know a lot about the politics, but the sort of business side of it, maybe that's where you need a little bit more training. I think you were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think it's one thing to understand that businesses are motivated by the bottom line. It's another thing to be able to know, honestly, how to research their annual report. Figure out, you know, what are their priorities? You know, why are they asking you in your office to go after this one policy? Or, you know, why is this voting bloc really caring about this one thing? You know, why even in our last presidential election, you know, were jobs so important to people when it looked like our GDP is on the rise? And, you know, being able to understand those two trends, which are actually simultaneously happening, and, you know, being able to understand what people need to hear and the policies that would hopefully go, you know, behind that message and make improve lives, I think is something that you really do only get when you can understand financial markets. And I mean that in a very serious way. And so I think that that's something I probably understood in the back of my mind, but it wasn't until I got to Darden and was in, you know, even an accounting class or a finance class where you start to go, aha, I get it. And so, you know, you are able to talk with people from the business world in a much more serious manner.
So in our conversations and in your conversations with prospective students, you've been such a champion for people who work in politics, thinking about getting an MBA. So, you know, if someone is listening to this podcast and they currently work in the political process or around the political process, what would you encourage them to think about as they think about MBA, maybe another degree? What about an MBA do you think they should think about seriously?
Well, I think they should definitely do an MBA. You know, I think for me, when I looked around and was thinking about spending the time and the money to go back to school, I knew actually that I didn't want to do it full time. I loved working, and so I wanted to do something that could fit into my current schedule, as much as possible. But I would just think about, you know, the kind of work you do. I don't think it would matter. I would suggest that it wouldn't matter, you know, whether you're chief of staff or a legislative director or an LA on the Hill or, you know, have been in the administration or in any other capacity about politics in and around this town. You know, you're aware of a lot of industries. So every industry in this country is financial at its very base. And, you know, getting a degree that is going to make you a powerhouse in explaining those policies, understanding things better, is going to be well worth your time. And I just think an MBA personally is what's going to tee that up for you. And I also think if you ever, you know, leave DC, you know, that's going to be a credential that is a little bit more impressive than some other degrees that might specialize in something a little bit more niche. I think an MBA speaks for itself, and Darden obviously does. So, you know, I think about that, and then I would just add one more thing, which is the network, which is awesome. People who are much older than you and even younger than you are willing to pick up the phone and help a fellow Darden person out. So, you know, those are the reasons why I chose it, and I think I would suggest people consider that.
Yeah, we were in the other conversation with Steve and Freddie. They were mentioning, like, I've probably got about 40 more years of working ahead of me, and so I'm obviously very passionate about the work that they do. But your point about portability you know, the skill set that opens, you know, the education that can open a lot of doors. MBA certainly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think for me, I will just add one more thing. I was looking at, you know, possible transition out of public sector work, you know, and I might come back to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that you want a skill that's going to give you an entree into that world. And I think anybody who's been dealing with budgets, particularly in Congress or the executive branch, and even on campaigns, I mean, you're dealing with budgets. And, you know, people should think hard about that and how good they are at it and think how much better they could be with an MBA.
Mm-hmm. All right, Julie. Well, thank you so much for being here and for joining us today. And, you know, good luck with everything.
Thank you.
And that was my conversation with Julie Lasser, an MBA format graduate from our class of 2018. As previously noted, I also sat down to talk with two other politicos in our program, Steve Gilliland and Freddie Barnes. Both Steve and Freddie are in our class of 2019, and I sat down to talk with them a little bit more about their backgrounds, what drew them to Darden, and how they think an MBA will help them grow and develop their career. Thank you for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about your background. Freddie, let's start with you. So you guys both work in politics. Tell me a little bit more about your careers.
Yeah, I work on Capitol Hill. I'm Kevin McCarthy's political director. So I work for the campaign. We're focused on fundraising and candidate recruitment and spending our resources to win House races. I studied political science at Auburn University and immediately started working on campaigns and climbing the ladder on the Hill. And I've climbed it so far to the NRCC and running Kevin McCarthy's political operation in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Freddie. And Steve, how about you?
Yeah, so I am the chief of staff for Michael McCaul. He is a congressman from the great state of Texas. He also chairs the Homeland Security Committee. And I am originally from Ohio. I have been on Capitol Hill in an official capacity the whole time for about 10 years. Started in, you know, the straight out of college, came right out to Washington, started as essentially the front desk person and worked my way up to chief of staff and for four different members of Congress now. I've loved it. I, you know, planned to be on the Hill for 1 year and then go to law school and leave, and decided very quickly I didn't want to go to law school and that I hadn't learned anything. So it's been a very interesting career. I still enjoy it. But I thought a MBA from Darden would be a good way to kind of branch out and learn new skills.
So, Freddie, how many years have you been on the Hill?
Including an internship, almost a decade.
Wow. So both of you guys.
Yeah.
Almost a decade in. So what got you into politics originally?
I grew up here, and I never – actually hated it in high school, hated politics, but halfway through at Auburn, I was originally a business major, and halfway through, I changed my majors to political science and loved it. Wanted to work on campaigns, loved the process that touches everything, and kind of working with people, working grassroots originally, worked on a race for lieutenant governor in Alabama, and we would, you know, work the tailgates. And then in 2007, I interned for the minority whip at the time, Roy Blunt, and got the full experience and, like, kind of got bit by the bug and knew I wanted to come back and work on Capitol Hill and in some capacity. And I ended up doing that.
So, Steve, how about you? How'd you end up in politics?
So I credit my AP U.S. government teacher from senior year of high school, actually. Politics had been something I was aware of, but I wasn't particularly involved or interested in until that course, and he really inspired me. majored in political science when I was in college. And, you know, for me, I really don't know any other way to say it other than, like, I just wanted to try to help make things better and try to move the country in a direction that was going to be better for the majority of Americans. And, you know, I've really enjoyed my time on Capitol Hill. I have gotten the opportunity to do some really neat things that the average, you know, person never gets the opportunity to do. Meet very interesting people and work on really impactful things. I've handled almost every policy area. I'm a legislative person by trade, so I've handled healthcare policy, tax policy, you know, agriculture, technology, you name it. In the last several years, I've really kind of fallen into a niche of like homeland security and defense policy. So, you know, sitting around in SCIFs getting briefings about all the people out there that are trying to do us harm and make sure that, you know, our agencies have the resources that they need to make sure that, you know, people are safe. So I've enjoyed it.
How about you, Steve? How do you think about, you know, you talk to someone, they got all these options and, you know, obviously, you've made the choice to go get an MBA. Sort of what is potentially disruptive about having an MBA?
Well, you know, I think I'd say, like most things, a lot of it depends on what you want to do, right? And if you're someone who absolutely knows that you want to go into the, you know, healthcare policy industry, then it may benefit you to go get a master's degree in healthcare policy, right? I'm 32 years old and I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And so an MBA for me was, you know, I don't know if I'm going to want to, you know, switch careers or pivot, you know, at some point in the coming years. I know that if I do, the network from Darden, going back to what Freddie was saying, I mean, Darden is a nationwide, globally known program. And it's a name that people know when you say it, and it has a huge network. So if I do want to go do something else, I know it will help me do that. But as kind of a safety net, if I decide I don't want to go anywhere else and I want to stay in this same path, I know it's going to make me better at what I do. So it was kind of a win-win easy decision for me.
There's something multiple about an MBA. It opens a lot of potential paths, right?
Yeah. I think it opens a lot of new doors. And I mean, we're, you know, Washington is a company town, and everything kind of revolves around the government here. One of the things that I thought about was if you are going to run one of these, do government affairs work, to have an MBA, you are, let's say you're doing it for a big company, you're reporting to the CEO, and the CEO's probably got an MBA. So you'd be able to speak a new language and learn a whole new set of skills, and that could complement your knowledge and expertise of the government, how the sausage is made, how you know, politicians think, and the likelihood of a debt ceiling increase. These sorts of things. Marry that with how the CEOs think, and then you could, you know, bridge a divide and be a valuable employee.
When it's directly applicable too. I mean, for example, today in one of our classes was decision analysis, right? And we were looking at examples where decisions had to be made in situations with very complex factors going into it, multiple different factors. And, you know, this was only a first or second class in this series, but, you know, it teaches you to take these seemingly overwhelming universes of factors going into a decision that can oftentimes lead to paralysis with a leader, and helping you break those down in logical, manageable bites to ultimately be able to either reach a decision or at least have the, you know, the facts broken down in a manageable way that will then allow you to, you know, make the right decision or wrong decision. You're going to know which one it is, and it's just a matter of whether you want to choose it. So again, I think it's skills like that are applicable to, you know, any career.
And the scale of government is more vast than almost any private company, right?
Massive, yeah.
So, but, I mean, there's this thing that people always talk about. Oh, gosh, government could learn so much from the private sector. You guys kind of sit at an interesting place, right? You're working on your MBA, and you obviously have a pretty extensive careers in working, you know, in politics. How do you see potentially, you know, Freddie, you were talking about the ability to translate between sort of politics and business. How do you see, like, maybe an MBA perspective being able to sort of drive efficiencies or make government better?
Yeah, I mean, increase productivity and, you know, different ways of measuring productivity, the way that, you know, a lot of what removing waste, government waste, and being able to do some things. A different way of thinking is how what a business has to do. Again, early in the program, but what a business has to do is they're a little leaner. You know, they don't get to print money, but they innovate and they have competition. So they have to adapt and to new technology. I mean, that's one of the things that I would like to ideally do is help the government innovate and bring some best practices from an MBA thinking and, you know, frankly, some of the connections, you know, you can make with your classmates who are in these industries, different industries, learning from them and applying it to government solutions. Some of the problems that we face that, you know, we are kind of kicking the can down the road. If you can have a different fix, a different way of thinking, I think it could come from outside of the government focus, the government types, career types.
What has resonated with you about the program? What are you most excited about so far?
The case method, the interactive classes, the teachers. Somebody said the teachers. We did a week in Charlottesville, and the teachers are like the Greek gods of Darden. They have an incredible presence about them, and they are captivating. And then your classmates are all chipping in, and it's a conversation. It's unlike anything I've ever done in high school or at college. It's a different way of teaching. And the case method are stories. We, you know, all know stories, and I am finding it's a really great way to learn and to teach the principles and the, you know, techniques that are still in the textbook, but they deliver it a much different way that I love so far.
How about you, Steve? What about the experience so far has stood out for you?
So I completely agree with Freddie. The faculty has been amazing. They really have. They're interesting. They're engaged. They zero in on students. And if somebody doesn't know how to get to the next step of the answer, they don't let them go. But I mean that in a good way. They sit there and they work through the problem with that student until they get there. And you can just really tell that that they care. They truly want the students to learn and to understand the subject matter. They're energetic. And, you know, also to echo Freddie, the case method, which I should have mentioned under one of the reasons I chose Darden, because it's the only school. I know HBS also uses the case method, but outside of that, I don't know of one other than Darden, at least not anywhere near as, you know, highly ranked and well known as Darden. The case method, though, is just a great way to learn. You know, I heard horror stories from my mother, who also has an MBA from Ohio State, about all of the math and just math after math after math. And again, we're early on, so maybe we'll get there. But I can say that, you know, with the case method, what you do is you take real life examples, So rather than just sitting there and doing, you know, quantitative work, you're looking at Aston Martin, the company, and, you know, that was a particular case that we've done where they went through, you know, certain decisions that the company had to make, and here's their financials, and, you know, whether, and here's the market data for the product that they're thinking about rolling out, and, you know, based on all of this, should the CEO move forward with the project? And when you're doing all the quantitative work in the context of a story, it makes it just much more engaging, much easier to kind of see the results of the different decisions that you can make. And it just, I mean, it just makes it so much more engaging than, I mentioned to Brett earlier that I have done absolutely nothing for the last several weeks other than work and school. Getting up a couple hours before work and doing school work, and then, you know, doing a little bit when I get home each night. But despite the fact I haven't been doing anything but work and school, I also don't feel like I've only been doing work and school, because I actually enjoy the material. It's engaging. It's interesting. I read the cases like I'm reading short stories. Like I want to know what happens, you know. And so that's been something that I've really enjoyed.
Guys, thank you for taking the time. It's obviously great to talk with you a little bit, and great to hear more about your story and how you ended up here, and glad things are going well so far.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And that was my conversation with Steve Gilliland and Freddie Barnes. Of course, as always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, ideas for podcast episodes, we are all ears. Feel free to email us at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.